Usually, when we look at how a country runs, we see, a patchwork of short-term fixes, a policy pivot here, or maybe a budget cut
It's
there.
very reactive.
Right. It is incredibly rare to see a nation blueprint its entire future down to the exact data points for the next 2 decades. But that is exactly what we are unpacking today in this deep dive.
And it really is a massive undertaking.
It is. We are looking at South Africa's National Development Plan 2030, or the NDP. Okay, let's unpack this. It is a colossal, comprehensive roadmap designed to completely transform the country over a 20-year stretch.
It's huge. And, the origins of this plan really show how deep that desire for transformation went. I mean, the commission behind it was actually appointed by President Zuma back in May 2010.
Wow, so quite a while ago.
Exactly. And then after releasing a diagnostic report and holding all these extensive public consultations, the cabinet fully adopted the plan in 2013. The absolute core objective here is combating poverty and inequality by building what they call a capable and developmental state.
Wait, capable and developmental state? That sounds a bit like bureaucratic jargon. Does that just mean the government is heavily directing the market?
Well, broadly, yes, but it specifically means a state that actively intervenes to guide economic development. So they use their resources to meet the needs of the people rather than just, leaving it entirely to free market forces.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they really want the state itself to be the primary engine driving this change.
And looking at the 2010 to 2030 targets in our sources, that engine has to pull an unimaginable amount of weight. Like, they map out ballooning the economy from 1.84 trillion rand to 5.27 trillion.
Which is a jaw-dropping jump.
Right. And slashing unemployment from 25% down to 6%, and the ultimate goal taking poverty from 39% down to exactly 0%. Wait, hold on. Dropping poverty to a literal zero.
A literal zero.
That doesn't just sound ambitious. I mean, that sounds mathematically impossible for a developing nation. How do they justify a hard zero?
So they justify it as an uncompromising necessity. The plan argues that you basically can't build a stable society if a whole segment of your population remains chronically destitute.
That makes total sense.
Right. So it sets the bar at total eradication, not just mitigation, but wiping it out completely.
But practically speaking, this is like trying to rebuild the airplane's engine mid-flight.
That is exactly what it's like.
Because you have to maintain daily survival for millions of people while simultaneously coding a totally different future. If you are listening to this right now and thinking, well, there is no way a government can create 11 million jobs out of thin air to hit those numbers, you aren't alone. How does the plan actually claim they will pull this off?
Mostly by heavily front-loading the physical infrastructure. The strategy mandates hiking public infrastructure spending to 10% of GDP.
10%. That is a massive chunk of the budget.
It really is. And that money is strictly targeted at things like energy, water security, and freight logistics. But the most crucial mechanism here is actually spatial. They want to aggressively densify cities and channel investment directly into townships.
Okay, I have to ask, why the intense focus on where things are built?
Because they have to dismantle the fragmented spatial patterns left over from apartheid. Right now, a lot of workers live prohibitively far from economic hubs.
So commuting is a huge barrier.
Huge. By densifying cities, you cut down the hours and the money citizens waste commuting from townships. You immediately free up capital and labor, which makes the workforce vastly more efficient and connected to real opportunity.
But all that infrastructure spending and spatial rewiring is essentially a pipe dream if the workforce isn't healthy enough to build it, which explains why the plan suddenly pivots to toddlers.
It does pivot quite sharply, but
Well.
you really can't separate the physical economy from the human foundation.
Right. And here's where it gets really interesting. Because the social interventions are incredibly specific. We aren't just talking about building universities or whatever.
No, they are targeting human capabilities at the absolute starting line.
Yeah, like expanding preschool to 2 full years and establishing a dedicated nutrition program for children under 3.
What is fascinating here is how the logic works. Cognitive development in those first 1,000 days basically determines a person's lifelong earning potential.
Wow, the first 1,000 days.
Yeah, you cannot grow a 5 trillion rand economy in 20 years if the future workforce is structurally malnourished today. But importantly, the plan acknowledges that educating and nourishing people is totally futile if the institutions around them are corrupt.
Which brings us to the machinery of the state itself.
Yes, exactly. The plan goes incredibly hard on anti-corruption strategies. but it focuses on the actual tangible mechanisms of transparency.
Like what kind of mechanisms?
Well, they mandate the use of technology for procurement, meaning every citizen and auditor can theoretically track exactly where public money flows.
That would be a game changer.
Right. And they want auditing to assess actual value for money, not just to check off procedural boxes. Plus, a massive pillar is professionalizing the police force.
So reducing political interference and building highly specialized units to tackle complex, systemic crimes.
Exactly that.
So what does this all mean? Obviously, it's happening in designated phases. Like, the sources break it down into chunks like 2014 to 2019, and then the final 2019 to 2030 stretch. But the through line is clear. This requires the active mobilization of literally everyone.
And if we step back, what is truly revealing is that over half of this entire master plan focuses solely on institutional reform.
Over half. Just on the institutions.
Yes. Think about that. More than 50% of an economic plan is just about fixing the government itself. It proves a fundamental reality.
Which is?
That having a grand 20-year vision is completely useless without fixing the actual machinery needed to execute it.
That is such a crucial point, which leaves you, the listener, with something to really mull over. If you had to draft a 20-year survival roadmap for your own community right now, would you focus first on setting those big, bold economic targets? Or would you be forced to fix the institutional trust and the machinery first? Because as this plan shows, if you want to rewrite the future of a society, you better make sure you have an operating system you can actually trust to run the code.